Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. This is episode 127. Today is Friday, June 26, 2026, and it is a cloudy and muggy day here in Nashville. The weatherman is calling for rain, and that would be fine by me. Summer flowers are now coming on strong with phlox and coneflowers in full bloom. The hummingbirds are loving it. From the early 1970s onward, the Tennessee Environmental Council has been a strong force for conservation here in Tennessee. Today, it continues to be an organization worthy of your support. In the past few years, we've been honored to have TEC Executive Director Jeff Berry on for interviews on a couple of occasions. Also, we had Dr. Monica Pretz as a guest to discuss native plants and their pollinator initiative. You may want to check out these previous interviews. Today we have the pleasure of getting to know someone new to us from the Tennessee Environmental Council. Jordan Young is the Director of Field Operations for TEC and is joining us to discuss their water quality initiative. With grant funding from the Tennessee Department of Agriculture and with corporate sponsors and lots of volunteers, they are working to restore degraded streams. We talk in some detail about a multi-phase project in Rutherford County, restoring segments of Lytle Creek. And so I hope you will enjoy this conversation with Jordan Young. And we will get started right after this brief message.
Hi, this is Heather Lose, Editor-in-Chief of the Tennessee Conservationist Magazine. Every year, we publish 6 beautiful issues packed full of timely and informative stories about Tennessee culture, people, and places. You can stay informed about your world and all the great things happening in your Tennessee state parks. It's easy to subscribe. Just go to our website at tnconservationist.org. Thank you.
So, Jordan Young, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Jordan, it's great to meet you. You and I have not met personally before this, and so it's always great to hear to get to know a little bit the new people involved in conservation in Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jordan, I know that you work for the Tennessee Environmental Council. I want to introduce you to our audience. So tell us about what you're doing. You work for the Tennessee Environmental Council. You are the Director of Field Operations. What does that all encompass?
Right. So I am the Director of Field Operations, which means I work with our different initiatives to help make sure that they have everything that they need to carry out their day-to-day work. So we have several different initiatives for people that may not know much about Tennessee Environmental Council. We have a composting initiative. We have a tree day initiative where we distribute trees across Tennessee, and native trees, and encourage people to plant those. We have a pollinator program initiative where we work to establish pollinator gardens throughout Tennessee, a recycling roundup initiative where people can bring their hard to recycle items. And then we also have a watershed initiative. And I work really closely with the watershed initiative. And what we do there is we work to improve the water quality throughout Tennessee's watersheds.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. My listeners should know that previously on the Mark Fraley Podcast, I've interviewed Monica Pretz, who is who heads up the pollinator program.
Correct.
And I've talked to your boss, Jeff Berry, about the tree day and the composting programs in the past. So if people want to hear about those programs, they can look back at the archives of the Mark Fraley Podcast and hear about those things. But it's today I wanted to talk with you about the watershed initiative. As I do, I was just going through Facebook or Instagram or something and saw a really nice post about the Lytle Creek project over in Rutherford County that y'all were involved in. And I really had not been aware of the Watershed Initiative. So I thought maybe it'd be good to get you on to hear about it. So talk about the Watershed Initiative and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, so a lot of what we do in the Watershed Initiative is we aim to engage people in the communities on what a watershed is, why they're important, and things that they can do to improve the health of watersheds that they're living in. So a lot of people don't know that everywhere they're at, they are in a watershed. Tennessee and in every state, everywhere in the world is made up of different watersheds, and we work to improve the quality of water within those watersheds.
So, how do you become aware of places within watersheds that are in need of this sort of work or evaluation?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually get that question quite a bit. So we work really closely with Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, Tennessee Department of Agriculture, and we every year or every few years, the state and the EPA put out a list of streams that they have deemed impaired or threatened.
Okay.
And those impairments can be from a variety of different things, right? A stream could be impaired for E. coli, sediment or silt, lack of vegetation along the stream, so things like that. So we look at that list of impaired streams, and then what I do is I look at where we have projects at currently. Because we're such a small company, I kind of like to group our projects somewhat near each other. That way, we're not stretching out our resources too thin. So, right now, we have a few watershed restoration projects going on.
Tell us about those. The one that I became aware of was Lytle Creek in Rutherford County, and I want to hear details about that. But where are there others?
Right. So, like you mentioned, we have Lytle Creek in Rutherford County. We also have a stream restoration project on Grassy Branch, and that's located in Spring Hill.
Okay.
And then we also
Which is
have,
at the border of Williamson and Murray counties.
correct,
Yeah.
correct. And which is a tributary eventually to the Duck River.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
And then we have a new stream restoration project. It's our phase one of this stream, and it's in Franklin, Tennessee. And that's Donaldson Creek, and that's a tributary to the Harbeth River.
Okay, all right, very good. Now, you mentioned you worked with the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation and with agriculture. Is the funding for this program through those mechanisms, or how does that work?
Yeah, so because we're a nonprofit organization, all of our initiatives are funded through grants, and that can be either federal or state grants, or through sponsorship, either from private citizens or through corporations. These stream restoration grants are part of the 319 non-point source pollution program. It's a mouthful from
Okay.
Tennessee Department of Ag.
Okay.
So the Environmental Protection a or yeah, Protection Agency allocates so much money for these stream restoration projects to each state,
Okay.
then organizations like ours can apply for those grants through, say, Tennessee Department of Agriculture, and then they pass that money along to us.
Right.
Those are a cost share program, the 319 program is. So it's a 60-40 cost share. So we will be reimbursed from Tennessee Department of Agriculture for 60% of the total cost of the project,
Okay.
and then we have to come up with the other 40%.
So you guys are out there looking for sponsors.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. And have you had some sponsors that you might want to give a little bit of credit to at right now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell us who your sponsors are so that the world will know who are the good guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Middle Tennessee Electric has been a great sponsor for us
All
for the
right.
Lytle Creek Restoration Project. Nissan, Tractor Supply, TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority. We've had a lot of good sponsorships through those organizations.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Lytle Creek and for listeners that are not in Tennessee or that wouldn't be aware of the geography of Tennessee, Lytle Creek is down in Rutherford County, which is to the south of Nashville. And Rutherford is where Murfreesboro, Tennessee is. And is one of the fastest growing areas in Tennessee. As far as urban growth is concerned, it's about a 30-minute drive down the highway to Murfreesboro. So tell us about Lytle Creek and how you first got involved with that and what you've been doing there.
Right. So, Tennessee Environmental Council began, I believe it was phase one of the Lytle Creek Restoration Project. I believe it was maybe in 2016. They got phase one through the 319 program that I mentioned from Tennessee Department of Ag. They worked on some sections of the creek there. To reduce sediment and silt, to plant trees along the stream bank, which is called a riparian buffer. It's just a vegetated buffer on either side of the creek, and to do some exclusion fencing to keep animals outside of that area. So
Livestock
if
out of there. Yeah.
livestock,
Right.
correct, correct.
Right.
So I was not a part of that. I came in at the very end in
Okay.
2019. Whenever I
Okay.
joined Tennessee Environmental Council, they were just finishing up that phase one. We reapplied for the grant and we got phase two. We actually, that ribbon cutting you mentioned, that was the end of phase two. So
Okay.
these are 3-year grants and we did 2022 to 2025. And we worked on a section of creek where a gentleman owns 17 acres either side of the creek. And he had horses, he still has horses, but is not using the land next to the creek for them. He has other land that they can roam around on and eat. So we thought this would be a good partnership. We went and looked at the land, talked to him, and he was very open to us. Working out there and doing some things to, kind of shore up those stream banks, reduce erosion, plant some trees, engage the community out there. So.
So how does that work, your relationship with that landowner? I guess one of my questions was going to be, is this all on public land or is it on private land? Obviously, if it's on public land, then you're working with a governmental entity that can control what's going on there on the land. But when you're working with a private landowner, it's a horse of a different color, so to speak. What do you enter into some sort of a memorandum of understanding or agreement with the landowner about how they should treat the land after you're done with the project, or how does that all work?
Correct. Yes. So, what we do is we kind of survey the area through through maps and aerial photography, say from Google Maps, and we try to identify places that would be of interest to us. And then we also look at data saying like, oh, this, there's possible sediment loads here, increased sediment area, so lots of erosion. And then what we did was, because the area that we wanted to work in was in a, there was a lot of privately owned land in this area, we sent out a mailer to residents with land along Lytle Creek.
Got
And
you.
we targeted them and he got back to us and he's an extremely nice gentleman and really open to us, working with the land and him and improving the water quality in the creek. So, and he has a very large section of creek, 17
Right.
acres. So we're
Yeah,
talking
better to
several
work
thousand feet.
with one person for a large piece than, 200 people for each for little pieces.
Exactly,
Right.
exactly.
So is there a written agreement with the landowner about all this, or how does that work?
Yeah, for the some there are for this gentleman there is, and
Okay.
then we also work, on semi-public private lands as well. Our restoration project in Spring Hill, which is on Grassy Branch Creek, the sections that we're working on there, they go through a, it's actually 17 acres again,
Okay.
coincidentally, of land that is owned by a subdivision, Wingate Estates. And, but it has a public walking trail through
Oh,
that
okay.
17 acres. So you don't have to
Okay.
live within Wingate Estates to enjoy that area. And we don't have a necessarily a written agreement with them, but we've been working with them for 20 years now. Yeah.
Them
So
being the Homeowners Association
the
or the
Homeowners
city of
Association, correct.
Spring Hill. Okay. Well, in Rutherford County, there are other stream restoration type projects going on in different places in Rutherford County. I know that the city of Murfreesboro is working to, I guess it's, is it Town Creek? Is that the name of the project within the city of Murfreesboro that has been
Right.
underground in a culvert for many years, and they're trying to open that up to the sky back again and have it be a free-flowing stream.
Right. That's called daylighting the stream.
Daylighting. There you
Yep.
go. There you go.
Yep.
So there are other projects in Rutherford County that tie into what you're doing.
Correct. Yeah. And all over Tennessee, there is, we are a very water-rich state. Unfortunately, a lot of the streams, over half of the streams that we have data on are impaired or have been deemed impaired by the state and the EPA for one reason or another. Like I said, it could be E. coli, it could be nutrient overload, it could be sediment or silt.
Well, let's talk about each of those things. You mentioned E. coli, and for folks that may not know, E. coli is a bacterial is bacteria which is associated with human waste or with animal waste. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
yeah. And makes the water dangerous to be in.
Right,
You can get
right.
sick if you get in that water.
Correct.
Right.
We rely heavily on our streams and creeks, rivers and lakes for agriculture, for recreation opportunities, for water supply. In Rutherford County, Stones River is the source of drinking water for, thousands of people in Rutherford County, Lytle Creek being a direct tributary to the Stones River. So the cleaner we keep that water, the less expensive, the easier it is going to be for these water treatment facilities to treat the water before sending it out to
Got you.
consumers.
Got you. And the agricultural runoff is a major source of pollution in around Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of herbicides and pesticides that are being used on crops that then find their way to our streams.
Right. Well, and then the soil itself that washes into the streams.
Correct. Yeah. A lot of sediment pollution, which is very detrimental to biodiversity in the
Well,
water.
and tell us about how that works, the mechanics of sediment. How does that affect the organisms that live in the creeks?
Right. Well, it can, very literally muddy the waters.
Okay.
That sediment and silt that is in there can actually choke out aquatic life. It can block sunlight, leading to eutrophication. it just really decreases the biodiversity within the creek. So one of the things that we do, and maybe we can get into this in a little bit, is we try to stabilize eroding stream banks. And I can get into a little bit of that process maybe later. I don't know if you want to talk about
Well,
that.
I want to hear all about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Tell us about that. And this is a way of keeping soil from washing into the creeks and polluting them.
Correct.
Right. So
Correct.
tell us about how you do that mechanically.
Yeah, so we identify areas of the creek that are highly eroded. Usually those are outer bends of the creek. So when I say outer bends, if you visualize a stream or a river in your head, and it kind of flows like a snake, in and out. Well, what happens is the high velocity waters really carve out the outer bend of the stream, that kind of U-shaped or C-shaped curve of the stream, and then it deposits sediment on the inside of that stream. So what we do is we go in and we arm the toe with sustainable resources like cedar revetments or coir logs. Coir logs are just densely packed coconut fiber. And so we can put those to protect the toe of the bank so it doesn't keep eroding out. Sometimes we'll use some rocks or cedar revetments, which are very similar to coir logs, but they are cedar branches wrapped in that coconut fiber netting.
Gotcha.
And what that does is it protects the toe, but it also that the cedar branches and the coir netting also slow water down and help trap sediment.
Gotcha.
So yeah, what we'll do first is we'll put in that layer of either some rocks or some coir logs or cedar revetments at the toe to protect it. Then we'll slope the bank behind that to have a nice little gentle slope there, and then revegetate with native plants.
Very good.
And the sloping does what that does is the sloping helps reconnect the stream to the floodplain. So instead of continually eroding down, where you get these really high walled erosions, where a stream bank is at like a 90 degree angle and 6 or 7 feet tall, we'll slope that back down to just a couple feet, reconnect it with the floodplain. That way, whenever we get these real big heavy rains, that can overflow and go out into the floodplain.
Gotcha. Well, this is very, very interesting. Now, when you are doing these projects, are you who are the worker bees that are doing all these physical things on the ground? You may have you need to tell me. You may have your own employees that do this, or do you have volunteers that are doing this, or is it a mix of those things?
It's definitely a mix of those things. So there's only like three or four of us that are continually working from Tennessee Environmental Council staff that are continually working out there on these projects. But one of our big goals, like I mentioned earlier, is engaging the community. We give the public an opportunity to come out and learn with us and hopefully take some of those things that they learned back to their homes, and kind of implement those things back at their houses. So, we've had volunteers come out that have helped us stabilize these stream banks. We have a lot of tree planting events where we'll have, 50, 60 volunteers come out and help us plant trees. We also install rain gardens to help capture stormwater runoff. That's a really good volunteer opportunity. And all of our events are really family friendly. We encourage people to bring out their families.
So, if you are an employer in Rutherford County or anywhere else that is looking for a project, a public service type project, this sounds like an ideal sort of thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have had projects, and I'm sure Monica Pretz, our head of the Pollinator Initiative, she might have mentioned it, but Nissan's had their employees come out a lot, Tractor Supply, Amazon. There's quite a few companies that reach out to us that want to do an engagement opportunity with their employees.
Right, fantastic. So, Jordan, what's the next project? Where are you looking for future work?
So, like I mentioned, we have our Lido Creek restoration, and that is a continuing. In fact, we are just signing the contract on our new 319 grant, and
Okay.
that'll be phase three.
Phase
So, we're
three.
starting that this year. It's a 3-year grant. We have our Donaldson Creek restoration project in Franklin, Grassy Branch, and Spring Hill. But what I'm really looking at, I'd like to do a lot more work at public schools or any school, really, because we're looking to engage young folks, teach them about environmental conservation, things that they can do to improve water quality across Tennessee. I think that if we engage them, that they'll take those things home and maybe convince their parents to put in a rain garden and capture that runoff that's coming off of their driveway or their rooftop.
Very good. So Jordan, tell us about yourself. Are you a Tennessee native, and if not, how did you get to Tennessee, and tell us about your background in terms of education?
Yes. So I am originally from Kansas, southwestern Kansas, a big farming community. Not a lot of trees out there. It's pretty flat, a lot of pastures. I'm an avid outdoorsman and always have been. So, I was just amazed whenever I came to Tennessee and saw all the trees and the hills and everything there is to do with nature. I originally came here in 2007, and like a lot of folks, I did the music route. I wasn't a performer myself. I was more in the audio engineering side of
I
things. So
got
I
it. Okay.
went to school for that and got a degree in that and did that for a while. Now it's more or less just kind of a hobby. And went back to school for geology at MTSU. And it was there that I, got wind of the Tennessee Environmental Council. Started interning and then pretty much just didn't, loved it so much I wouldn't leave until they hired me on.
Fantastic. We have had folks from the geography program at MTSU, but I don't remember geology program at MTSU.
It's a great program.
Zeta, gosh, what is Zeta's last name? She's an archaeologist. From MTSU has been a guest on this program, but I was unaware of a geology program at MTSU.
It's great. It's in the geoscience department.
Right.
There's some great professors there. There's kind of two routes to the geology major. So there's the professional geology route, and that's something that you would do if you were going to do like exploratory geology for rare earth minerals or the oil route, that type of thing. And
Right.
then there's more of a earth science geology, which is kind of what I lean towards,
Got you.
because there were some like environmental geology classes, some
Got you. Got you.
hydrogeology, and those meshed really well. That what I was learning there meshed really well with what the Tennessee Environmental Council was doing.
Right. The person's name is Zeta Law, by the
Okay.
way, and she's in the geography program there. Which I think is in the same general area of study that you've just mentioned, but years ago they were the first agency around Tennessee that was involved in using Landsat satellite imagery for an assistance to communities with community planning. So they're remote sensing and that sort of thing. So
Right.
yeah.
Yeah, there's I believe that they are in the same department.
Right.
There's Dr. Mom who works there. He, I think, I don't know if he leads the remote sensing.
Yeah, Dr. Fullerton was the guy that got that all together, and I think that the program actually is named after him now.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, but
Excellent.
it's the Fullerton Center for Remote Sensing Sciences or something like that. I don't know. Well, very good. It's always interesting to hear about how people get into the conservation field.
Right. I was just I've always been a lifelong environmentalist and just an avid outdoorsman. Anything outside, whether it's kayaking, fishing, mountain biking, hiking, backpacking, I love it all. And whenever I went back to school, I didn't really necessarily know that, oh, I wanted to go the geology route. I just know that I liked getting outdoors. I liked working outdoors. And I was talking to an advisor there, and she said, well, the geology majors do a lot of camping trips and backpacking trips. And I said, oh, this signed me up. And I loved it. It was so fun.
Super. Okay, so reaching back now and putting on your hat as director of field operations, you have other initiatives. Are there other things that you might like to take the opportunity to mention that are going on with your other initiatives?
Absolutely. So there are, a lot of great opportunities within the pollinator initiative. They really encourage people to plant native, especially native wildflowers, to kind of help bring the pollinators back and reduce that pollinator decline. It's an incredible program. Please go to our website and check it out. Our recycling roundup program is phenomenal. And what that is, you can check our website for I'm not quite sure on the date of the next recycling roundup, but they pick a location here in Tennessee where, like, say, at Nissan headquarters in Franklin, where people can bring hard to recycle items that your convenience center may not take. Like, we're talking mattresses, tires, electronic waste, all of this really hard to recycle stuff. And they have companies on site that take those things and will recycle them. So they'll take them from you. You can bring them, drive through in your car, drop them off. We have trucks there, Penske trucks that we can load mattresses up in. And we've had a lot of great turnout with that. They're doing a fantastic job. And even, I mean, I may be biased, but I think all of our programs are really good. Our Tree Day program is fantastic, where we distribute native trees across Tennessee. We have
That is a
a
major logistical operation, 95 counties.
Oh, I couldn't the first year I participated in it, I could not believe it. I said, how did they work this out? And they do a great job every year.
How many trees last year were planted, or do you give an estimate?
I want to say 85,000.
I remember attending a ceremony down at the Bicentennial Park, which was, by the way, a tree planting to commemorate the millionth tree or some such thing as that last year for that program. So,
And that millionth tree is I believe it's a tulip poplar, which
I bet
is
it is.
our state tree. So if you're down in the, Bicentennial area here in Nashville, if you're visiting, please pop down, look for that tree. We also
Yeah,
have,
it's over there by the farmers market,
right.
right between the farmers market and the state museum there.
Right. And kind of to go along with that, we also have another program, UCF or initiative, and they're working with underserved communities to plant trees. And that could be underserved, from tree canopy or financially underserved. They're doing some great work there.
Tell us more.
So the person that heads up that initiative is Mahima Giri. And she is doing an incredible job reaching out, doing the research to see which communities here in Tennessee need tree canopy.
Good.
And so we'll do events where we'll go down to a school in Memphis, for instance, and we planted 58 ball and burlap trees there.
Wow.
But they also do tree giveaways as part of that initiative. And a lot of the time they are container trees. So we're talking 3/4 to 1 inch caliper, 5 to 7 gallon container trees. So
Right. Large
they're
trees. Yeah.
large trees,
Yeah.
and it gives you that sense of immediate satisfaction. It's a great program.
Super. Well, Jordan, you've been great to join us today. It's been fun to get to meet you and to learn about what you're doing. I wish you the best of luck, and as things develop, if there's new things that you want to share with our audience, I'd invite you to come back.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
All
And
right.
I just like to encourage everyone to plant native, and please go on to Tennessee Environmental Council's website, look for some volunteer opportunities, and come out and have some fun with us.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.